FMB. San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live on this Super Bowl Sunday from KFMB Studios in Kearny Mesa with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And time to introduce my co-host. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a family office expert. He's a marathon runner. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, and we promise we will not have a power outage on the show.
Yes, Justin will make sure of that. So we've got two great guests tonight, and I don't want to take any time before we get right into it. So we've got actually an entertainment legend on the line and a major personality in the studio. And
play some music. There we go.
You ought to know who this is. I think we have the great Don Rickles on the line, comic legend. Don, are you there?
Good evening, Don Rickles. This is Joe Vecchio and my co-host Richard Muzio here on the air with you. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. It's great. It's exciting talking to two guys in San Diego that nobody knows.
That's us. But you're going to be in San Diego soon, though, so maybe you'll know us. Who knows?
You're going to make us famous, Don. That's your job.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't want to make you famous. Maybe borrow some rope for docking. For sure.
Now you say
your partner tells me I was there, and he gave me the date with Frank, with Sinatra.
Yeah, that was December of '91, correct?
I don't remember, but it was great.
Yeah, and Frank Jr. Conducted the orchestra, and you opened the show and dropped the microphone as you normally do.
am I in the same place?
No, on February 16th, you're going to be at the Pala Indian Reservation, which is somewhere beyond the middle of nowhere here in San Diego, but it's very pretty.
Is it a new place?
It's fairly new. It's a casino. It's an Indian gaming casino.
Yeah.
With Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah. You know, Debbie and I go way back, and I said, gee, it would be great to have her on the show again because we worked together at the Sahara in Las Vegas years and years ago.
Wow.
And she's still a hell of a performer, and I thought it would be nice to bring her back.
It'll be a band or orchestra with that show too, I take it, right?
Oh yeah. I never work with a quartet or a guy.
I'm surprised Debbie still has to work. I saw what she sold Marilyn Monroe's dress for. I'm surprised she still has to work, but anyway. Yeah,
well, it's not a question of work with Debbie. You know, she as I do. Yeah, hey, I'm not a kid anymore, and yet I work because people show up to see me. Thank God.
And you're doing what you love, right?
That's the whole name of the game.
And you're doing what you love, right? How many dates do you do a year now, Don?
I don't know, maybe 20, 30, something like that.
Wow, that's great.
So, Don, I will always think of you as Mr. Potato Head because my son was born in 91 and my first daughter was born in 92.
Oh, God.
And Toy Story came out in 95, one of the all-time greatest movies in history, and, of course, you were the voice of Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so funny. When I first, John Lasseter was a great guy, he came to me 16 years ago, believe it or not, and came down to my beach place and said, hey, Don, you're going to be the voice of a guy called Mr. Potato Head. And I said, please, go away. I don't know. Who needs you?
Hey, Ed Asner did all right with this thing with the Up and all that. So
yeah, you know. And it's really turned out great after some 17 years now. In fact, we're going to do a special next week as Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head really evolved. I mean, they were even better, I think, in Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3 was quite a story.
Yeah, it really was.
So I'll have to check those all out. So, Pala Casino, is it just one show only, one night only? Is that it?
I could do 30, but they don't want to pay the money.
It's too bad
it's one show, and hopefully they'll all enjoy it.
They've got lots of money on the reservation, I understand, but anyway.
Yeah, well, I years ago, my father did an Indian raid, and we just won a wagon. That was about it.
Didn't you play an Indian in some F Troop or some show? I think I remember you with some Indian headdress at some point.
Yeah, well, by the way, all the Indian reservations, the shows I've been doing, they're terrific.
Really?
Had it not been for these Indian reservations, this type of show business, I think, would be staggering to an end. But thank God these casinos with the Indians has been just
Native
wonderful.
Americans.
Yeah, you'll enjoy Pala. Very beautiful place. Very well situated.
Where is it out where you were born, Richard?
It's north of Fallbrook and Valley Center.
Wow, that's
very scenic. What? Very scenic country. It's God's country.
Pretty country.
Oh, that's great. He must think I'm an explorer. What do I care?
Hey, how's Bob Newhart? You still hanging out with him quite a bit?
Yeah, you know, it's a mercy thing, you know. He keeps following me and bothering me. He's a different. We've traveled the world together, and he and you know, as I say in my performance, the wives are very close, and Bob and I became very close, and he's a great guy and a great comedian.
Yeah, that's terrific. Boy, you guys have both had storied careers. That's for dang sure. So you came down here in the Navy, in the mid-40s?
I was never down here in the Navy. I was in the Navy 2.5 years, and I said I'm an entertainer in boot camp in Samson, a place called Samson, New York. And they said, right. And then I went down to Manhattan and for a briefing. And then they sent me to, so long ago, 70 years ago already.
Uh-huh.
They sent to another place. I said, I do jokes and comedy. And I was a young kid, and I do jokes and comedy. And they kept saying, keep firing.
fire all the torpedoes.
They sent me
there,
to the Philippines, where you couldn't do too many jokes. You know.
Well, I still remember your legendary appearances on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. One of my...
Oh, God, wasn't he something?
Oh, I used to sneak up from here. I had a couple friends that worked up NBC. I used to sneak backstage about 6 times, and, you know, I stood, you know, he came over to me. I was standing at the coffee. I'm only 22 years old, and I'm standing backstage where they give out the coffee, and he come up. He walks up next to me. I was such in awe. I couldn't even turn my head to look at him. He's like 3 feet away. But anyway, I got to talk to him later on in another.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
I'm very tight now with. They're all good. Jimmy Kimmel's great.
Mm-hmm.
Leno great. The guy I really never thought I'd become close with is David Letterman.
Yeah,
and David and I have been very very tight in the sense of I have great fun with him. I have fun with all of them, and you know. Craig Ferguson. Most of these guys are really fine. It seems, though, that from left field, I never thought with Letterman I'd become close, but I have.
Yeah. You know, it was cool when Carson passed, he had Peter LaSalle come on the show and talk about it. And, of course, you and Bob were on a lot of the talk shows as well. So.
But didn't Johnny throw you fully dressed into a bathtub on air?
Yes, he did.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, he found it very funny.
And the broken cigarette
I was soaking with.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what
great memories though, huh?
So. Oh well, we had good times together when I was on the show. See, the whole secret was, as you guys know, even what you do in radio, I assume you do. The paper would say, "Let's talk about the President of the United States." Would say, and we'd get on the air, and I'd say, "Hi, Johnny." He'd say, "Hi, Don." He'd say, "How's your uncle?" And I'd say, "What do you mean, how's my uncle?" And we'd go from there and have a great deal of fun just right off the top, you know. And
yeah.
it was fun because we never followed the notes.
Now, a lot of people may not remember this, but you played the President Reagan's inauguration. One or both of those? Did you play? I know
Mr. that was a highlight of my career, I must say. Frank Sinatra went to the cabinet at that time and said for Ronald Reagan, who was a great guy, and mm-hmm. he said. We're going to have Don Rickles on the show with me. He said, oh, no. No, he's going to wipe us out. We don't need that. No. And then Frank said, God rest his soul, he said, hey, you don't have him, you don't have me.
Wow.
And I did that show without, they never bothered to ask what I was going to say, what I was going to do.
Do you remember any particular good zingers or anything?
Pardon me?
Do you remember any good lines or zingers from that? Or the radio?
Why would I tell you? This is a little Mickey Mouse radio. I'm going to give away great stuff to you guys.
Plus, Reagan was a Republican and Joe's a Democrat, so.
Both of you get undressed and fire a rocket.
We're just a bunch of couple of hockey pucks over here. What do we know?
Yeah.
But and then, of course, the Queen of England. You did something for her.
Oh, yeah, right. It wasn't the Queen of England. It was Princess Margaret, who was great because she loved vodka. and that's true. We sat down at the table after the show and. She said, Don, do you drink? I almost fainted. I said, yes, I do. And she said, yeah, good luck. The story goes real fast is that my mother, rest her soul, she said, you know, they have a dossier about your life, you know.
Uh-huh.
She says, you know, Don, I watched the show and you were very quick and stuff, and I enjoyed. She said, you know, your mother is a wonderful lady. She's 83, isn't she? I said, yes, she is at that time. And she said, well, my mom's 83. She's talking about the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Said, my mom's 83. I said, oh, wonderful. She said, yes, they're so alike, 83. She said, I understand your mom has a condominium in Florida. I said, yes, she said. She said, my mom has a condominium. She talked about the palace in London, you know. I said, oh, really? And she said, yes. She said, and you know, my mom has emphysema. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, but my mom has emphysema, too. She said, you see, Don, they're so alike, so alike. Emphysema, condominiums, both 83. Isn't that something? I said, there was one difference, ma'am. She said, what's that? Your mom has a flag on the roof. That's a true story.
That's good.
Now, Don, not only are you going to be at the Palace Casino on the 16th, you're also going to be in Indio, Fantasy Springs, on February 8th, right?
Right.
So I want to make sure we get that mentioned as well.
Thank you.
So, but, well, gosh, now where do you hang out in L.A. or Hollywood? Do you ever bump into Larry King at Nate and Al's or anything?
No. Larry King's old and through. No, I know Larry way back. He was a hell of a guy. There was a time we were very tight, and we had some good times together.
Yeah, I kind of miss him. Do you like
now,
this? Yeah. Do you like this?
He always did great.
Yeah. Do you like this new Piers Morgan who replaced him? I kind of miss Larry.
I have no vote on Piers Morgan because he's more. Yeah. To me, he's not so much entertainer. He's more political and
he's
very bright and so forth. And it seems to be doing well, the show.
Gotcha. So, Don, question: of all the people you've insulted, who was the worst sport?
I don't like to think of that. I don't know of anybody that.
Okay.
You know, it's the old story, Bob Hope, everybody loved.
Right.
But I'm sure there's somebody in this world that said, I don't like Bob Hope. When you stand on the stage, as you guys know, when you stand on stage by yourself, you can't please everybody.
Right.
So there's always somebody that says, oh, I don't think he's funny or I don't think he's great.
Yeah.
So you can't go by that. You just hope that the majority is in your corner.
Yeah. And no one's really, I mean, you've kind of developed this whole genre yourself. I mean, you've had award-winning
albums. Right, and they call it, they call it insult, but I don't know if you've ever seen me in person, but it really is an insult. It's exaggeration
it's
of all of us.
It's all a joke, right? It's all in
And it's never mean-spirited. Unless a guy lives under a rock, I don't think I have an audience walk out and say that miserable, mean son. I'm never mean. I'm funny and exaggerating.
Right.
And not everybody thinks I'm funny, but it certainly is never mean.
But you did have to kiss Mr. Sinatra's ring plenty of times,
Bobby?
Right?
So
you did have to kiss Mr. Sinatra's ring many times, right?
Well, my tongue, I had a rash. Right? Sucking up that ring all the time.
Anyway, Don, I know you've got to get to another appointment, I believe, right? That's what we were told. So,
you're
enjoying yourself.
You want to tell me that,
or else you want to hang out with us? That's great. Hey, if you ever want to come down here, you know, you get down to San Diego much at all? Or?
You know, I you guys sound like charming, wonderful guys, but I got to be honest, I'm not that lonely.
Joe, we've got two tickets for the February 16th, so
yes,
maybe we'll go up and visit.
You know, you can do me a big favor, okay?
Yeah, what's don't that? Show up or
what? No,
what?
Keep my name alive till I get there.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to come meet you backstage or something.
Well, please do. It'd be my pleasure.
If we get an opportunity. So,
my pleasure.
Yeah.
Say hello and make sure you talk about us till we get there because it's been a while since I played there.
Wonderful.
So,
wonderful.
Don, they say people in show business haven't arrived, and that certainly applies to Joe and I unless they've been insulted by Don Rickles. So can you call us Hockey Pucks on the air?
I'll call you Dummies, Hockey Pucks, Yo-Yos, and real pain in the you-know-what.
All right. That's a bonus. I very much appreciate that.
Thank you, Don. We'll see you down here. Thanks for sharing
some
time.
And thanks a lot.
Good luck. Have a great time at the show. They're going to be great.
Thanks a million.
All right, that was great fun, but we've got to take a break right now. We'll be back with our in-studio guest in a moment.
Is this too fast for you? The old man's right in the front going.
It's Mr. Warmth himself, Don Rickles. Saturday night, February 16th, at Event Center at Palace Casino Spa and Resort.
Hey, this is what you're going to hear, lady. If you're waiting for Billy Graham, forget about it.
Don Rickles, live with very special guest, Debbie Reynolds. Reserve seats on sale now at the Paula Casino box office, paulacasino.com, and startickets.com. Visit paulacasino.com.
All right, we're back on the air with Richard Musio, myself, and our in-studio guest I'll introduce in a moment. But Richard, wasn't that terrific with Don Rickles?
That was great, and it's a really easy act for our in-studio guest to follow, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know. We'll see.
Let me introduce this. The gentleman we have in studio with is a local legend. He's the founder of City Club of San Diego, which I believe was founded in 1975. He's got a deep history in politics, and is a religious icon in town, and his name is George Mitrovich. George, welcome to the show. What do you think so far?
Well, I quite agree. Following ripples. I've never done that before and probably never will. And as Mr. Lincoln said about the man who was tarred and feathered and run out of town on the rail, if it wasn't for the honor of it, I would have preferred to have walked.
Now, George, you are one of the few people over 50, I'll say, that was born and raised in San Diego. And maybe you could give us a little bit about your roots and where you, what part of town you were born and where you went to school and all that. And then we'll get into
it. Well, I was born at 7th and G Street, what was then the San Diego Hospital. It was in 1935. I actually know what it cost for me to come into the world because Lou Scar was the medical editor of the Union, San Diego Union. When he retired, he had a booklet from the hospital in 1935, which he gave to me, and it listed every cost down to aspirins. And I think I came in to the world for $17.95.
Wow. Wow.
That's now the Arlington Apartments. But I grew up here mostly in North Park, went to McKinley Elementary, Roosevelt Junior High School, went to Hoover High for a year, then transferred to Helix, where I went for 2 years, graduated in the same class with Dennis Hopper. Went to Pasadena College, a institution of higher learning of the Church of the Nazarene, which in 1972 became Point Loma Nazarene University. Got involved in politics in 1966 with the Lieutenant Governor of California in the Pat Brown administration. Subsequently worked for Bobby Kennedy in the presidential campaign of 68. Huh. And then later worked for the United States Senate, Senator Charles Goodell, one of whose sons, there were five boys, is Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League. I'm the oldest of six, five boys and our sister Gloria. My mother was one of 10 girls. My father was one of nine, seven boys, six of whom fought in the Second World War, and two of whom I think were at Iwo Jima. So it's a long history, and I have more relatives here than I can possibly count.
Yeah. Now, Mitrovic, what is the nationality of that? I never figured
that out. Well, here's how it works. My mother was Irish. She was an O'Quillan. Mm-hmm. My father is a Serb. My grandfather, paternal grandfather, Bela Mitrovic, came from Sveti Stefan in Montenegro, and my grandmother came from Croatia. He came first to America. She followed. And ironically, they were married in Spokane, Washington. I say ironically because that's where my wife and I were married, of course, a long time later. I've described having an Irish mother and a Serbian father as the Molotov cocktail of DNA.
Okay.
So George, you were a press aide to Robert Kennedy, is that right?
In the campaign.
In the campaign, right. Okay.
Were you there the night in the hotel when the tragedy?
No. When I first met Bobby was in Denver, very late at night. It was on a Friday night. He had been campaigning with Cesar Chavez in mm-hmm. the Great Central Valley, California. Exhausting day, flew to Denver. I was introduced to the senator by Frank Mankiewicz, his press secretary, who subsequently became my great mentor. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those moments you just never forget. Bobby was in a blue nightshirt, leaning up against the wall, exhausted. And Frank introduced me, and that was kind of the first time. And then that next day, we flew up to Scottsdale, Nebraska. We spent an entire day campaigning in Nebraska, and we were in one of those Lockheed Electra jets, and someone came and said, the senator wants to have breakfast with you. So I went back and sat with him for about an hour's flight. And he wanted to know about me, and he wanted to know about Nebraska. And, I mean, it was who he was. Mm-hmm. And what happened at the end of that day is something I will never forget. We were in Norfolk, Nebraska. The senator always flew home on Saturday night to be with Ethel and his 11 children on Sunday. And, again, long, exhausting day, and as he said goodbye, he shook my hand, and I looked at him, and I said, Senator, you need to get some rest. And he looked at me and he said, God, yes, I'm tired. He turned and he walked halfway up the steps to the plane, the chartered plane, American Airlines, turned around, came back down, walked over to me, took my hand and said, thank you for today. It was very well done. And that's just one of those moments. I mean, we've all been around a lot of people in politics and government, and a lot of people forget to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Kennedy never did.
Huh. Good. And that was the last time you saw him? Or?
No. I was with him a lot because Mankiewicz went off to do other things. So Nebraska in 68, as hard as it is to think today, was a really critical state. And so everybody in the family from Rose Kennedy, I mean, everybody came to Nebraska. And one of my fortunate responsibilities was to kind of shepherd them through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the day before he was assassinated, June 5 of 1968, he had come to San Diego.
Really?
And again, it was at the end of a hard, long campaign, a lot of rallies in the city, ended up at the El Cortez Hotel where he actually fainted. He was so exhausted.
Hmm.
And then we all went, we had a chartered 727 American to fly up to L.A., and I was on the plane because I had to go home to Whittier so I could vote the next day. And I'll always remember that because we were actually standing, think about this, we were standing in the aisle as a plane takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly Fitzgerald, Senator's cousin, came to me and said, do you think it's okay if we're on this plane? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I mean, you're part of the family and you're asking me? I think it's okay. And then after I voted, I came to San Diego to monitor election returns here and saw the senator's speech on, on to Chicago. And turned to walk out. I was with a young aide from Iowa that the campaign had sent to help me. She had been with me in Nebraska and heard a huge outcry, went back in and found out he'd been shot. So I got in a car and drove to Whittier to leave my assistant at our house and went to Daniel Freeman Hospital, where I stayed until Richard Goodwin came down in the early morning to say that Bobby had died.
Yeah. Anyway, I think, Justin, are we about ready for our break now? I think on that somber note, we'll take our long break and come back with more upbeat information and news from George after these announcements. Stay tuned. All right, we are back with the second half of our show on the Super Bowl Sunday, and now it's time for Richard to thank some sponsors.
Thanks to our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you. UBS and Mr. Michael Quaranta. Michael, don't forget to call me before 10:30 tomorrow morning to talk about some things, because then I'm starting with meetings at that time and solid meetings all day. Sean Puckett with Regions Bank. I just saw Sean last Thursday, the best business bank in San Diego, Regions Bank. Our favorite CPAs, Pluto Epic. They did not fall off the fiscal cliff, so they're still going strong. And there's a lot to talk about with income taxes this year because of the resolution of the fiscal cliff, at least the income tax piece. We'll see what happens with sequestration and the budget. Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal, the best estate planning attorney in town. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. New daddy, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. Jason sent me an email today saying his wife is doing 90% of the work with the new baby. Jason, you got to do better than that, my friend.
At least he's honest.
At least he's honest. And then, last but not least, our great friend, Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited, the best business valuation guy we've ever met, helping mm-hmm. business owners improve the values of their businesses. And Joe, how can our sponsors be found by our listeners?
If you go to iymoney.com, all their information is there. There's a sponsors tab, all their contact information, all their biographical information. These are all great and wonderful professionals who can help you in your business life and life in general. As a matter of fact, one of our sponsors, Joel Grushkin, who was a guest recently, I go to get my windows tinted. I went out to Yelp. I find this Alvin O's over here in Kearney Mesa. I get over there and start telling him about, our show at KFMB. He goes, well, Joel Grushkin is a mentor of mine, and You know, and of course, everyone started saying great things about everybody. So, you know, the words, and he listens to our show. But so we've got a mighty and significant audience out there. So
that's a neat story because I get emails all the time from people who love our show. So anyway, George, politics is one of your favorite subjects. We had, well, at that time, a mayoral candidate on our show.
But weren't we going to get into baseball first?
No, we'll do baseball later. Okay. I want to ask you, Mayor Fildner, our new mayor, tell us about your impressions of Mayor Fildner and what you think things are going to look like here in San Diego over the next 4 years.
Well, I've known Mayor Fildner for a very long time. I was involved in his first race for the school board. He then went to the city council and then to Congress and now is our mayor. I predicted last April that he and Mr. DeMaio would be in the runoff. And that Bob Fildner would win, which he did. He's the first mayor in 20 years. If you consider Maureen O'Connor a Democrat, the first mayor in 20 years that's a Democrat, I should say. Mm-hmm. I think Maureen O'Connor was barely a Democrat. he is the most liberal person we have ever elected to mayor of San Diego. Election Day was a staggering defeat for the establishment. They're still reeling from it. They put a lot of money into the campaign to defeat Bob Fildner, and they failed. He's going to be a very different mayor. I think the concern is that people who know him well is, can he hold it all together, which is to say to keep his passion, which is very great, in check. Over the years, he's offended some people, actually some very significant people. But I think he's going to be quite extraordinary. And if you remember, there were a number of people who endorsed Carl DeMaio, for instance, Joan and Irwin Jacob.
Recent guest on the show.
Two of those who did.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to do with just some personal, a personal sense about Mr. Fildner. But there subsequently has been a meeting, and I think everybody is
mending fences.
There's a very good relationship, and that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we'll just have to see. I mean, nobody can say with any degree of certainty how anyone is going to turn out in the volatile politics of our time, and particularly in a city like San Diego, the mayor is a strong mayor. That was something I was involved in. I think it's the only kind of governance system that works for big cities. We should have had it a long time ago. We didn't. I happen to believe that any number of the problems we have today are because we didn't have a strong mayor, strong executive. But now we do, and he has the means to be a very successful mayor. We'll just have to see.
Well, two things recently that impressed me were one, just this past Thursday, his fiance Bronwyn spearheaded a huge event for the homeless at Golden Hall, and had all these businesses and services donate their time to help the homeless and help get some people off the street and get them counseling, get them haircuts. I mean, it was amazing. And that was all day. And then the other thing that just happened, I guess just yesterday, the mayor goes down to City Hall, and he's going to do this once a month, I think, on a Saturday, and just make himself available to the public.
Right.
And you just sign up and give your contact information, what your issue is, et cetera, and sit down one-on-one with the mayor. I don't think I've ever seen that before in San Diego, have you?
No, that's a first.
Yeah.
Well, Bronwyn Ingram is a very impressive person. She has a great expertise in the field of social security,
mm-hmm.
And before the mayor took office, he spent a Saturday at the San Diego Rescue Mission, where before Thanksgiving they fed 1,800 people, and Bronwyn was there and talking to people waiting in line, and finding out that there are people who are actually eligible for Social Security, eligible for Medicare, who are on the streets that don't even know it.
Yeah.
And we've got to find a way to help them. And she's committed to it. The mayor is clearly committed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, he, He wants to end homelessness in San Diego.
And we're number three in the country in that.
So yeah, number three. So, George, I'm segueing from one of our recent guests, Erwin Jacobs, since you mentioned his name. What are your thoughts on the Balboa Park Initiative and the plan to get rid of or to improve pedestrian experience by getting rid of vehicle traffic?
And the recent court ruling.
Well, I think we've had the situation where we have parking in the middle of the park. It makes no sense to me. What are there, 20 parking spaces?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Dr. Jacobs is one of our great visionaries. He's proven that. He himself has put forward, offered to pay $35 million to help make this possible. But if no matter what you do in this town, you're going to get pushback. That's just the way it is. And when I was the chairman of the Committee of 2000 on Petco Park, we had pushback. We had pushback on strong mayor government. I mean, if you go back far enough, Roger Scholey tells us that when Balboa Park was first proposed, there were people opposed to Balboa Park.
Yeah.
People opposed the convention center. Mission Bay Park. Horton Plaza. It's a long history. And if you have read John Gunther's Inside the USA, which was published in 1946, I still think it's the best book ever written about America. It was Harper's republished it on its 50th anniversary. There's like two or three pages on San Diego. And he talked about, the mayor then was Harley Knox, but John Gunther said that San Diego was a city divided between smokestackers and geranium growers. I think that's still the problem. But what you have to remember, and it's hard, what you have to remember is that no matter what you do, there are going to be people that are in opposition.
Yeah.
But in a democracy, it's about 50.11%.
Yeah.
You know, think back to the ballpark. Think how controversial that was. Richard Ryder, the 14 lawsuits that Bruce Henderson filed that delayed it for 3 years.
Yeah.
We won that election 59.7, a staggering a vote,
mm-hmm.
but it was tough and it was hard to get there. And under the laws of the state, which seriously are idiotic, anyone can stop a public project mm-hmm. by filing a lawsuit, mm-hmm. no matter how many people would be the beneficiaries of it. And we have a history of that.
Yeah.
And at some point, something has to be done to change that.
Well, I had mentioned even when Dr. Jacobs was here that we're not the small little sleepy town of 100,000 or 500,000 anymore. And I tried to park in there on a Sunday at noon last September, and there were no spots to be. And I wound up having to valet park my car anyway and pay $12 with tip. So I would like to get all the cars out of the interior of the park and make it walkable. And we have a big centennial coming up. We've got to make a world-class show here.
Yes.
So, and speaking of world-class show, we'll come back more of our show after the
Super Bowl final, Baltimore 34, San Francisco 31. It's over. Congratulations, Ravens.
There you go. All right, let's black out.
The Harbaughs win again.
Take it away, Justin. All right, we are back for the last segment of It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Musio and our special guest, George Mitrovich, founder and president of the City Club of San Diego. Welcome back, gentlemen. So, Richard, get into it.
Thanks, Joe. I want to ask George about baseball because George still plays real-life baseball, hardball. In fact, we were teammates about 2 years ago on the Marston's Mets. But it's not only that you still play hardball, you also head up this thing called the Fenway Park Riders Series. So tell us what baseball means to you and a little bit about this Riders Series, Fenway Park.
Well, baseball is America's game. I mean, some people want to make the case for football. They lose the argument with me. Baseball is America's game, and as has been said, if you want to understand America, you need to understand baseball. And to still play is a great, great blessing, and as you know, it's a lot of fun.
Less brain damage.
less brain damage. Thank you, yes. Although some people might say I'm the exception. I still play with a modicum of skill. I don't have any illusions about that. I've become, as the French would say, a gentleman of a certain generation. But Jeff Marston, whose team I've played on for now 11 years, has been doing this for 25. It's a tough thing to do. And we've had on our team, you were on our team, Jerry Sanders was on our team, Jerry Butkiewicz, mm-hmm. Steve Peace. I mean, a lot of high-profile people have been on our ball club. As to the Riders series,
Where do most of these games are played, though?
Because high school and college fields on Sundays and Saturdays here in San Diego.
And Richard will tell you, not all high school baseball fields are equal.
No, sometimes it's better to play in the parking lot than it is on the field.
Truly, it is.
So maybe we get a website for that before the end of the show.
The Riders series is a continuum of the City Club of San Diego, which was started in 1975. The Denver Forum, the sister organization to the City Club, was started in 1985. The Riders series began about 8 or 9 years ago, but before that, I chaired for the Red Sox their birthday tribute to Jackie Robinson. The Red Sox had a terrible racist history. The new ownership under John Henry, Tom Werner, and Larry Lucchino wanted to change that. They did. And one of the ways we changed it was by instituting a birthday tribute to Jackie Robinson, who I happen to think is the most important African-American in our history. And people say, why the Red Sox? He played for the Dodgers. Yes, but in 1945, he had a tryout with the Red Sox. It was a bogus tryout. They had no intentions of signing him. And the proof of that is the Red Sox were the last major league team to sign a black player, Pumsey Green, and that was 12 years after Jackie.
Pumsey Green, a second baseman, not a very good one either.
Right, no. But I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it's difficult for me to understand why I'm involved in three different cities, but I am. But there is great joy in doing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. And I also happen to think the dialogue of democracy is what we say we're about. It is what we are about. I think it's incredibly important. There are major, major issues before us in this country. People need to have a better understanding than they often do. And that's one of the missions of the City Club, one of the missions of the Denver Forum, and one of the missions of the great Fenway Park Riders series with the Red Sox. And yesterday, City Club had Michael Dukakis, who was for 12 years governor of Massachusetts, was the Democratic Party's candidate for president. Joe was there.
Mm-hmm.
The governor is 79, but you wouldn't know it, would you?
No.
You know, it just amazes me. He talked with Q&A in his speech, an hour and 10 minutes, and as you saw, Joe, without a note.
Yeah.
Without a note.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And he's teaching at UCLA in the winter quarter, teaches at Northeastern in the spring, summer, and fall. He's one of our great public servants. And that broadcast, by the way, is up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Those who were not able to be there, we had a very good crowd at La Jolla Country Day.
Very packed.
Standing room only, actually. But it's on YouTube. So you can see all of the City Club programs on YouTube.
Well, let's give your website, George.
It's www.cityclubsandiego.com.
Right.
Actually, we're a .org, but I just made a mistake when I was filing the domain name. And if you try to undo domain names, my advice is don't.
Yeah, don't try. By the way, it was Jackie Robinson's birthday on January 31st, the first black Major League Baseball player in modern baseball history. Of course, Jim Crow. Back in 1884, there were a couple of black baseball players, but the Jim Crow experience sort of ended that experiment for over 60 years.
And his number is retired in every baseball park in the country.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And my secret, by the way, is still playing baseball at the age of 54. I say I haven't lost any talent because I had no talent to begin with.
Let me just say one quick thing about the birthday tribute at Fenway Park on Thursday. It was the first time in 11 years that I had to miss because Governor and Mrs. Dukakis were here as our guest. But David Robinson, Jackie's son, who lives in Tanzania. He's a coffee farmer, but is active at the Jackie Robinson Foundation, which is headed by my great friend, Della Britton Baeza. He was in New York, comes over for about 6 weeks, twice a year, to work on his business and to be at the foundation. And she said to me on Wednesday, believe it or not, David is here. He'd like to come up. So David came up. We had a dinner for him Wednesday night, and then we went to two inner-city middle schools in Boston. David had a chance to talk to about 500 students. The Red Sox give everybody, every youngster, a gift bag. Tommy Harper, who was a great Red Sox player, African-American, who's always a part of this.
Former San Diego Padre minor leaguer.
Ah.
Tommy
now,
Harper.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
really.
Played here in the minors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you, Richard.
Yep.
It's just every major league team should do it, in my view. Della tells me there's been some pushback from the family, only because every major league team does honor Jackie on April 15, which was the day he debuted with the Dodgers.
Unfortunately, George, we are out of time, but thank you so much. You're a legend in San
George,
Diego.
George, thanks so much.
A man of great thought and vision.
It was our pleasure giving you an easy act to follow.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, but you say I'm a legend in San Diego. Most people say that I'm a legend in my own mind, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. Demi, good night. Thanks for coming in. Justin Hart on the board, thank you so much for taking care of the show. Craig Blanke, thank you. And thanks to Dave Sniff and a get well to Lauren Ann Carroll, who's recovering from surgery, and his family. You have a great week, and keep the lights on at the next Super Bowl. Good night now.
We lead. You follow. They get out of the way. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-949-1733. That's 1-800-949-1733.
We follow the story.
Time has come.
1733. Then we lead the conversation.
Oh, okay.
We shop.
Common sense.
You
that would be
say.
A first for him.
Follow the leader. 760.